just downloaded that 419-page Emoluments 2021 file, Dennis. This is a wealth of complexion. Whoa. The financial roots are extremely deep. Yeah, a lot of people don't take a look at that. You should take a look at it. It's an interesting document. Brastex, good afternoon.
Mr. Johnson.
My brother, how are you?
Very well. Are you yourself, sir?
I am not bad at all. I'm not bad at all.
Some areas of concern, and I know that you would probably have an opinion as well. I'm looking at Bridgetown, which, you know, I spent some time.
Which is your favorite place to be outside of St. Michael Northwest.
That's right. What I'm observing, sir, is that with COVID and the close down of several businesses in Barbados and in Trinidad, I am aware that there are a lot of landlords of Trinidad in Barbados. Percentage of landlords on the main street, percentage of landlords on Swan Street, a whole set of landlords that are aware. The origin is Trinidad. So I'm wondering if we have to wait for the jump start from Trinidad for the landlords to get their jump start here. But that is not the way. That's not the real subject matter. The other subject matter is that I was knocked bowled over a couple of days ago, Saturday morning today. I walked, followed the march, and there was an Independence Square. And I looked across, and what I saw, the Barbados Public Library, situated across. But apart from that, there was a big thing going across for sale. And the person to approach was a Trinidad connection as well. So the reason I said to myself is that, you know, we are worrying about a lot of things, but the main things that we should worry about, we seem not to worry. That is to say, if the library is going to be at the crossroads of having to move because the property is not for sale, and where will we find space for a library now? And it is more important for us
Fix
to find
Coleridge Street. Fix Coleridge Street.
Or the Carnegie Building?
The Carnegie Building, yeah. Somebody suggested. I think the last time the voice I heard was that of the
former senator?
Correct. The former personal assistant to Mr. Barrow, Dr. McLean.
McLean, yeah.
Said he wondered how many, exactly what quantum of money we've paid for that building on Independence Square, there across from Independence Square, the library is, since it's been there, what, almost 20 years, he said, or something like that, or over 20 years. He wondered how much we had paid to rent that building, because it is rented, as opposed to fixing the home of the library. It was an interesting question, but one I haven't found an answer to yet. But it was an interesting question.
I was the most amazed person, similar to what you've just said, that all along I knew that the public library was on that side of the town.
Mm-hmm.
But I never knew that they were renting the building.
Neither did I until he raised it and I went to check.
And as you said, there was the back of His Excellency Earl Barrow, back in the Barbados Public Library, and facing the Parliament. Now, I'm saying these things to say this, right? We have got to get serious about the direction of this country. All this of moving this and moving that is not going to add up to the direction that we are supposed to go. I think that Down to Brass that has provided a whole set of education as far as Barbados and the direction that Barbados should go, and the people who are dissatisfied and the people who are satisfied. I personally believe that by now, coming out of all the things that we would have heard on Brass that, there will be a chart to take Barbados forward in making Barbados. So it's more important to worry about the public library at this time than it would be to worry about a Lord Nelson statue. And then when you look at Broad Street, you look at several businesses are closed up. And then when you ask the question, you're told that this is put to the landlord ownership. There are two lovely buildings in Broad Street that I'm wondering why they've been closed up, the singing machine. Old single machine building at Fran General. Now, those buildings have been closed for as long as I can remember. But here it is now that we're concerned with moving and reopening Bridgetown. The position is that we have got to be able to grab our attention by being owners of things and not being people who, in my opinion, are renters. We've got to start owning back our things. We've got to start feeling comfortable and not wait. I know that we have got to wait on Trinidad now. If Trinidad and when Trinidad opens, we've got to wait on Trinidad because Trinidad is the center spread of all business activity in Barbados, both import and export, and both in terms of real estate.
But let me ask you this question. Is the only business in Barbados buying and selling? Is that the only thing we can do? Is that the business model that we think is the best for Barbados? Import something, put a markup on it, and sell it to your people at a higher rate?
Is that
what we want to do? Good.
I think our business in Barbados, Mr. Johnson, is the fact that quick returns is what is happening in Barbados in terms of people going into business.
Okay.
Quick returns so that they would probably either squander the profit or move the profits to another level. And that is the concern.
But okay, so if that is what drives you, then whoever comes along with more money and offers you an opportunity to either widen your reach or to make some money and go out and do something else. What can happen? Don't forget, let's go back to the one that we talk about quite often on this program. And it usually raises just as much temperature as Lord Nelson's statue. And that is something called the Barbados National Bank. When the shares in the Barbados National Bank was sold, the first set of shares, it was said that the income generated from the reorganizing of the National Bank by bringing on a partner meant that Barbados was making more for its shares and for its people than when it was a wholly owned local entity. So if your philosophy is, let's make as much for my people as I can out of this, and the ownership, therefore, is secondary, then your links with your CARICOM neighbors first, and then others outside, becomes the focus. So you had the Arak cement plant, you had various other things that we teamed up with our CARICOM brothers and sisters. For example, Barbados' oil was sent to the oil refineries in Trinidad, and we got the equivalent value in oil for us here in Barbados. Was it the most beneficial one? I don't know, but that's the arrangement we had. So if Trinidad sells their oil interests to a foreign company that no longer sees Barbados as a CARICOM neighbor, but as just another supplier of crude, there is no reason for them to treat us as brothers and sisters because they don't belong to the family. So if somebody from somewhere else buys the Arawak cement plant or part thereof and don't see any reason to treat the Barbadian as brother and sister because they're just now a competing entity, you see how the lines you try to join become frazzled, frayed, and stripped and thrown out the window. And when you become desperate for foreign exchange, then your neighbor goes out the window too. You go for the man who waves the largest dollar bill. So if he decides it is in his best interest to buy your entity, shut it down and use it as a loss leader so that he does not pay taxes in his domicile. How are you going to stop him? He now owns it.
I'm going to take your lead, Mr. Dawson.
I was hoping that you would help me out.
I'm going to take your lead. Now, for example, you started out by the shares for the Barbados
National Bank. I picked it on purpose, sir. Yeah.
And we know how the shares went, and then we know the involvement of the Trinidad entity.
Correct.
Then eventually we are at the crossroads now to realize that the Barbados interests seem not to be there anymore. That is the Trinidad interest fully in what is now the Republic of Trinidad, Republic Bank. So my answer to you, and I see where you're coming, and I must accept that I was probably blind, but now you open my eyes, that the Barbadians bought shares in the Barbados National Bank in order to save the Barbados economy at the time. A lot of sugar plantations were indebted to the National Bank, mm-hmm. and as a result of this, the selling of the bank helped maintain the bank's operation. But then eventually the bank sold some interest to a partner, and then the interest of the partner sold to another partner. So Barbados does not stand in any category as far as the ownership of the bank is concerned any longer.
So, but you see, and I smile. I'll tell you why I'm smiling, right? If one looks at the history of commercial banking, and one has a look at some of the names of the banks that we've supported over the years, Barclays Bank, DCO, and others, one would see a heritage that is perhaps as muddied, as clouded, and as seeped in the things we do not like for ourselves today, as symbolized by the green fellow at the top of a broad street and the other symbols of oppression. Those banks, some of them, have roots deep, and that's where their power came from in the first place. But we continue to line up outside and walk into them because their ownership has changed over the years, and the faces in there have changed over the years, and they've supported us by giving us mortgages and credit cards and other things. And we don't see the connection that we choose because it's not a statue. It's not in your face. It's not a history that is known. So we do not see any parallel between those institutions. We see it from the Trinidadian end, as the Trinidadian-owned banks have come into the play, and we know where Trinidad is right down the road, and they know where it started. But if you look at the history of some of the banks started in Trinidad, and you find out that some of those banks started with workers' money, started with Workers' Bank and taking over Citibank and Chase Manhattan Bank and localizing it and spreading throughout the Caribbean, you would perhaps see a different history to the bank. And I'm not saying they're not using the same methods of getting their profits, but you would see a difference in the share ownership and how they're structured. And what we need to do, if we're talking about developing a nation and developing a people and being conscious, is to understand how these things are rooted, how they grow, how long they take to grow, what are the obstacles they had to overcome to grow to where they are. And then perhaps we would have a different feel about ownership of things like commercial entities, banks, buildings, structures, as opposed to the discussion I was having with Brother Nasser when I was saying, we usually prefer to say, as soon as he get my money, as soon as he take over, he and his wife going on cruise and he got a big car and he suddenly become white.
Literally. that's right, because in my lifetime, in your lifetime, I once told you that there was a heavy black franchise of business in
mm-hmm.
Barbados.
Barbados, yeah, correct. And you went through a lot of them.
When they started to move in directions of success, mm-hmm. these statements were said that they were squandering money. They were buying all expensive cars. I have a saying that when we look at the plantations, in journalism in Barbados, Mr. Johnson, there are very few Caucasians, if any, Caucasians in journalism in Barbados. In the plantocracy and plantation, if you look, you will see that there are no, if there's any, there can't be more than two or one involved in the plantations of Barbados. Most of the plantations in Barbados now are owned and operated by black Barbadians who seem not to be able to make success and turn it around so that our agriculture would become something to fall up. So we have had our day. We have had our day, and we blame people for taking our day. And as you said, dealing with it at the level of not killing. Mm-hmm. We have had our day at the level where when I hear people talk about black this and white this and black this and white this, the fact of the matter is that we have no respect for our own. And we have no respect in terms of moving forward, because we believe if we move forward, we're going to be moving one of our own leaders, And as a result of that, you know, he has to stay there. He has to stay there. He has to watch me going up the ladder, going up the steps, and I'm going to look back down at him. But then when you get to the top of the steps, what happens? The holes are wrong with the steps fall up, and you're back down where you started.
My friend, one of the problems that we've faced over the years, I'm sorry to say, is that we've not learned the history or the lessons from our history. I always point to the banana industry because I came up some of my years in a banana growing country. St. Vincent, St. Lucia, Grenada, Dominica were banana exporting countries. Bananas, a lifeblood for them. Grenada, spice as well, cocoa, agricultural products. But the banana industry in particular was controlled by Geest Industries Limited, from the boats to the marketing company in Britain. When Geest bought into Chiquita bananas in South America, and it became cheaper to move Chiquita bananas to Britain, and the US wanted Chiquita bananas because it don't need ships, it could go cross land or whatever. And it was cheaper because Chiquita bananas had bigger plantations. Not saying they are better bananas, a different variety. They just were cheaper. What happened? Geese ships stopped running. Geese stopped marketing Grenada, St. Vincent, St. Lucia, Dominica bananas. It collapsed. Why? Because we couldn't sustain it on our own. We did not own the marketing company. We did not own the transportation. In some cases, we did not own the plantations. So our people drank rum and beat their wives because they had nothing else to do. The banana industry collapsed and the economies of those countries collapsed. We've learned nothing from history because there's a Chinese company buying gold mines in Guyana. There are oil giants buying oil producing capacity in the Caribbean. There are large corporations buying our hotels, owning the ships that bring the people to our hotels. They're buying islands in the Bahamas to develop so that their ships could go to their islands and spend money with their company and not go to the lady selling t-shirts and baskets in the market in Nassau. And if they have an island in the Bahamas that allows the people on the cruise ships to spend a day or two in the island in the Bahamas and enjoy rides and free drinks and the beach cabanas with umbrellas and chairs, you think they'll come to Barbados to pay for it? When it could be going to their company that owned the island somewhere closer to their port of call? And that's why the ships that are registered in Barbados are being treated specially, so that hopefully they'll remember the kindness of Barbados and think about us when they come into thy kingdom, O rich, exalted one. That's the games we play with the livelihood of our people, sir. But that's not the discussion that our politicians have with our people, because it's not the proper thing to do. 4341-790. Folks, anyway, let me leave that alone. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon, sir.
I've listened to your discussion with Brother Nasser, mm-hmm. and also the discussion with Mark.
Mark. Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of what is being said could be summed up in two statements. One is that we're trying to succeed in a failed economic system. And secondly, that we have no confidence in ourselves as a people. And the reason what prompted me to call you was when you made the comment about Mark spoke of the
library.
The library from, I think, now I have a Facebook page called Restore the Barbados Public Library,
mm-hmm.
which was set up during the Barbados Labour Party administration before this one,
mm-hmm.
right? So we're talking about in the 1990s. I set up that page, because I cannot understand how a country that is striving to be a first world country could be so neglectful of one of the basic things that sort of helps to promote knowledge and is a reservoir of knowledge, such as a library, regardless of what, whether it be books or whether it be film and recordings or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
A library and a museum, I think, are two essential things in any developing country.
Today it's been replaced by Google and tablets, sir, apparently.
But
although they're both available there.
The thing is that very often you can check the sources of the information that you find in a library.
Thank you, sir.
Any idiot can put something on Google.
You want to say that again, please? You want to say that again? When I tell people I like to read rather than look at television, because I could see who wrote the article, I could check his bona fides, I could see what else the person has written and say, okay, that's your slant. I see where you're going. I understand how to read what you've written. I can't do that. While it may be available on some Google things do actually have, you know, reference points, but others are just a name with a doctor or M something behind it, and I have no idea who or what the person has a PhD in. Yeah.
But you see, the thing about books and journals and things like that, that information is there because it was peer-reviewed.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. It is there because other people were able to critically
analyze it,
right? Mm-hmm. So, something that you go even, you get some areas on the net that obviously you can get that sort of kind of peer review.
You could get a review.
But there are people who could put up a site that looks very official and. Mm-hmm. And they go on four different instruments
and put a critique of what they've written. Yep.
Exactly. You know. But I want to speak about the Barbados Development, the Barbados National Bank.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Murray and myself were on opposite sides in the Senate when the decision was taken to sell the shares in the Barbados National Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And we were of opposite views, and I think we came to relatively high words within the bounds of parliamentary
mm-hmm.
procedure about the sale of the bonds. Mm-hmm. And one of the points I made then was that the shares were offered to Barbadians at the wrong time. And it was just before Christmas. And I remember Mr. Murray saying, when he raised that the fact that you're trying to sell shares to Barbadians at Christmas time, they're not going to be sold. Mr. Murray said to me, we're looking at the culture that we have. When you see November, the house being fixed for Christmas, you're looking for gifts for Christmas, everything is about Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Only a certain class or category of persons in Barbados would think about buying shares at Christmas. Okay? Around Christmas time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it turned out that the shares, basically, not many Barbadians purchased the shares. Now, the next thing was, the shares were sold to Republic Bank, right? The I think it was 51% was sold to Republic Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Government retained a small set of them. And the reason for the sale of the shares, Mr. Johnson,
mm-hmm.
was not about development. It was to help government's cash flow. Right? You know, I always tell people, if a carpenter runs into trouble, he can't go and sell his saw, a hammer, and plane. Because when he gets work, he doesn't have anything to work with. And we sold an asset, something which, and why it is particularly disturbing to me, is that I know the origins of the Barbados National Bank. I remember as a boy, the Barbados Savings Bank that even used to operate out of post offices, mm-hmm. right? I remember the people in St. John making the deposits at the post office in Four Roads on the savings bank. Then the savings bank was headquartered in right downstairs the Parliament building, mm-hmm. right? That money was poor people built that bank, right? Mm-hmm. Now, compare that with First Citizens Bank. The government of Trinidad and Tobago still owns significant shares in First Citizens Bank.
Correct.
But here it is. The government of Barbados, rather than seeking to develop the Barbados National Bank that it can go into other countries. And also, I tell you another thing that people may not know. People, Barbadians in England, had access to the Barbados the Savings Bank through the High Commission in England, right? Mm-hmm. So Barbadians in England were able to put money in the savings bank, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. No, so we got rid of that asset, and then we sold the Hilton Hotel, not in order to get money to develop an industry or help businesses to grow in Barbados. Again. No, sorry, I got the other way wrong. Sorry. We sold the rest of the assets in the Barbados National Bank in order to get money to build the Hilton. Okay? Now, that was no more. And then you have the Insurance Corporation of Barbados, which again was a success story that was started by former Barbadian civil servants who people say don't know what they're doing. Who built the insurance corporation to a successful insurance company. People always say that we don't know how to build anything, we don't know how to do anything. But look at the institutions that we have developed over the years and then given them away. We, like I said, the Insurance Corporation of Barbados was a success, we sold that. The Barbados National Bank was a success, we sold that. And the other thing I want to tell you about the Barbados National Bank is this. The Barbados National Bank was sold minus the debt owed by the sugar plantation. That debt was taken out of the portfolio in order to make sure that the new entity
did not have that albatross around its neck.
Financial position, right? A lot of people don't know that.
Can I ask why they don't know that piece that you've just added?
Because as Mark said, we do not pay attention to certain things, right? And we are very superficial in the way that we deal with issues. So we deal with, and you know, sometimes I...
Well, it's for politics, and you know that, sir. A lot of the times, the reasons why we don't know certain things or we leave out certain things is because of which political party we support and who we believe did what to whom and why. And that's not developmental. It's just the way we practice our politics.
But when are we going to move away from that, Mr. Johnson?
I suppose.
When are we going to deal with it?
I suppose never.
It raises another issue which, again, people would think that you know, we just gloss over it. But I've heard you make reference to it already. The teaching of something like civics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where people know what their rights, their freedoms, and their responsibilities are in a country. How does a country function? I heard one of your moderators already talk about his experience when he went to a government office, and he was complaining about how people are wasting money. And a security officer said to him, but it ain't your money. What are you worrying about? And he was amazed at the fact that this lady actually believed that the money belonged to the 30 people. No, the 30 people in Parliament.
In Parliament, yeah. The government.
Yeah. No, you know, when you have a situation like that where you do not even, people, a large percentage of the country does not even understand the basics of how a government functions. When people talk about the taxpayers' money, they say, but they don't ask themselves, but who are the taxpayers?
Who are the taxpayers?
I am the taxpayer. You know, I keep that people when you talk about the government money. What money does the government have? I always tell people I have never yet on my way to work seen the government in a traffic jam trying to get to work. When the government, this mythical entity, wants money, they push your hand in your pocket and mine.
Yo, sir, I'm smiling, right? Not a happy kind of smile. I'll tell you why it's not a happy kind of smile. I was having a discussion on Tuesday. I was having a discussion on Tuesday about the boss plan. And I purposely left out a part of the boss plan. I had about 4 or 5 WhatsApp messages telling me about the part that I left out of the boss plan. I left it out on purpose because everybody kept saying the central bank will buy the bonds. Then it's the central bank will buy the bonds. Then it's the central bank will buy the bonds. Then it's the central bank will buy the bonds. And I wanted to ask, where the central bank is getting money from? Central bank got taught under the desk is pull money out of? Or the central bank will have to print money to buy it because the central bank ain't got money? The central bank does not create, you know, they ain't got income where people come in and say, here, hold my money, do what you want to do with it. But because people don't make the connection with how things are financed, what it means when we use terms like fiscal space and printing of money, you get comments like, the bank will buy it or the bank will do that, as though the bank has this tot under the bed that it's pulled money out of. And that's why I said to one of the callers, I think it was on Tuesday as well, that the money in the bank belongs to depositors, the old lady you're talking about who put money in the in the credit union or the savings bank or the person who put their pension. That's who the money belonged to. The money don't belong to Barclays or CIBC or Scotia or anybody. Scotia didn't come here with a tot of money and put it down. They took money from the ordinary citizens.
You know, Dennis, I have refused to make any public comment about the BOSS program, right? Because all that will happen is that people are going to be approaching it purely either from a political point of view or just without understanding clearly what it's all about. So I've kept out of that. But what I can tell you is that I recall when Sir Lloyd Sandiford, as Prime Minister, when he was Prime Minister, made the same recommendation about bonds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reaction that there was to it. But it moved past that. On the 24th of January 2018, I completed an article which I wrote about how we should approach restructuring the economy, right? And in that article, which one newspaper refused to publish, and another one chopped it up so ridiculously that you didn't understand what it was saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the gist of what it was saying was that, look, we are in a serious financial position. How do we get ourselves out of this? Go to the people of Barbados and lay bare the facts. This is what the situation that we are in. And then, remember, I'm saying I wrote this in 2018. And I said, okay, what are the biggest issues? You got a debt problem. Who do you owe the money to? The majority of the debt was local debt, right? National Insurance was the biggest creditor for the government at the time. Then you had a problem with infrastructure in the country, roads and buildings needed repairs. You owe the University of the West Indies a whole heap of money, right? You owed people for VAT and income tax return. I said in that article, okay, let us say that you owe, that your total indebtedness was $1 billion, just to make the calculation.
Pick a figure. Mm-hmm.
Right. I said, go to the people of Barbados and say, look, I am going to float a national development bond, the purpose of which is to clear off these debts, right? These local debts. I want $500 million out of that billion from you, the people of Barbados, at an interest rate, which I say, this is a 10-year bond, and I'm going to give you 6% interest on it over 10 years. It is a bond you're going to get. It's going to be, you're going to get the first interest on it upfront. So you pay $94 for a $100 bond. Okay? Which is something that already happens. So there's nothing novel about that. Okay? Now, that bond is tradable. So if I have a $100 bond, it could come to you and say, Dennis, look, hey, broke boy, I have this $100 bond.
I want $75 for it.
I paid like $6 for it, right? Mm-hmm. But I said, it's worth $100. Give me $98 for it, right? Mm-hmm. So you buy it for $98. I get $2 more than I bought it for. Mm-hmm. But you know that next year you got the interest on it.
Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is, you say to the people, okay, if you surrender this bond to government, not trade it, if you surrender it to government in 3 years or less, you pay 50% taxes on the interest that you earned.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep it for 6 years, you pay 30% taxes. You keep it for 8 years, you pay 20%. And if you go over 8 years, you pay no taxes on it. Now, Dennis, you could imagine that if a fella had an insurance policy for $40,000 that matured, and he had a child that was 8 years old, and he decided, look, I'm going to put $25,000 in these bonds, right?
Mm-hmm.
For 10 years. You know that at 18 years old, that he ain't got to worry about anybody paying fees, university fees for that child, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is that the whole concept of bonds is not one that one should dismiss.
But why, you see, the problem, it comes back to, well, you said the Christmas was the wrong time to come up with it. But all these alternatives that were not used over a period of time have us in the position that we're in today. Because we've chosen to go another way to achieve the same end.
But then I told you half of what the thing was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you raised half of the money from the Barbadian public.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the time, the problem in bringing it at that time was a matter of confidence, whether the people would have had the confidence that you were going to do with the money what you said you were going to do with it, right? But having raised half of the money, you can now go to the IMF or whoever and say, look, this is the program that we have developed. The people of Barbados have bought into it. I want the other half in foreign exchange in order to get the money for the infrastructural work, because a lot of it is going to require foreign exchange input. So I want the other half in foreign exchange. So the other half with $500 million Barbados dollars, $250 million U.S., goes straight into your foreign reserves, right? And you do not need any austerity measures in order to get that $250 million. But you see, this is, in my view, too simplistic. You know, as one economist told me, man, that ain't gonna work. The only thing that work is that you've got to stay home, people, so that government will spend less money on wages. Right? When other countries have taken the economic model, right, which says that sometimes the government has to spend the spill out of a recession. The United States government did it with what they call quantitative easing. The what's the economist that there's an economist who pushed that principle all the time. And Keynes, I think not Keynes.
Keynes.
And, you know,
John Maynard Keynes, know him?
Yeah, the quantitative easing, the British government did it. The German government did. Governments all over the world. As a matter of fact, the European Union did it for Greece and Italy and those countries, right? But like I said, we as the people, we are trying to succeed using an economic model that was designed by other persons. Mm-hmm. It was not designed by us nor for us. We do not have the structure in which to operate in the economic system that we are trying to succeed in. And not only that, a system that has failed in the same developed countries, right? Because now you have a thing in the developed countries where they talk about helicopter money, where you just give people a sum of money every month,
yeah.
Right? Now, if you tell people that you're going to, people even quarreling now because they want to give people a pension. But there are some countries now which are moving in the direction of saying, look, every citizen needs X amount of money in order to survive for a period. Make sure that they have it.
Yeah, but you see, let me just say to you, I got to take a break, so I got to run off here. Let me say to you, though, in closing at the end of it, that countries that produce so that the people who they give money to survive spend it on the things they produce, the food they produce, the raw material to build houses, they produce it. They produce the things that they want their people to spend on. They know that the money's coming back to them so they can give it to them. When you live in a country that imports in a currency that's not their own, as you say, a system that's not set up for you, but you try to emulate what they do to keep their people afloat, unless you have a parallel system running, you're going to find yourself in trouble sooner rather than later. And I don't want to use the word again, but again. Thanks for your contribution. So this is Dr. Brass Tacks.
Hello.
Yes?
I just want to make a quick contribution. This is in regards to Nassar Mohammed. And he was able to assist me in getting some funding to purchase a piece of equipment for government. And that connection came through sitting next to him at a small business association war seminar, which resulted in him understanding my plight. Obviously, the bank did not finance the piece of equipment, but he was able to put me in connection with someone that I was able to get that money to purchase that equipment. I was allowed by that individual 3 months to make the repayment, and as soon as the equipment came in, the repayment was made in 1 month. So I want to thank Mr. Nassar Mohammed for assisting me back then, because that was a huge sale for my business at that point in time. Like I said, I didn't get any help from the bank, even though I had a bank manager assigned to me my account. So I want to thank Mr. Nassar Mohammed, and I also want to thank the individual who would remain nameless, who would have provided me with the finance to bring that piece of equipment in for a government anything. He did not charge me any interest at all. So one fixed amount, and I had to repay it. Give me 3 months. But I repaid it within 1 month. So here again, I want to thank Mr. Nassar Mohammed for assisting me. Thank you. That's my contribution.
I thank you very much, sir. It goes nicely with this one here that says, I've been saying this for a long time with Dennis, and I've written to Brass Tacks about it. Stockholm is going down a very dangerous road. Play back the program with Dennis and Nassar, and you will understand. Different strokes, different folks hear different things. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Peace be unto you, in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, sir. Please allow me today to make a reference to my reading. Sometimes my reading don't coincide with others. But nevertheless, we're talking today about statues and everything like that. But listening to your discussion just now with the gentleman talking about the National Bank and everything like that, I said a passage of scripture came up to me which says, all people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And the people who are supposed to educate the people, not only in the sense of letting the people know how to do mathematics or English or a language or anything like that, but allow them to know that the education that they're getting, you know, from a child up to 18 or 19 years old is an education for development, for their own personal development, for business, for, you know what I mean, what is the value of money and how money is being used and how it is being spent, and therefore what is the purpose of it, how to use it. And therefore, if we are not educated in that vicinity of how to invest money and understand what investors are talking about, and then again, the same people who are singing very high parts in the choir are not people that, when you try then to believe what they are saying, and you then go and invest with them, then you lose your money for some kind of technicality because they say you did not understand. And therefore, then the people lost their money. You hear about, sometimes you hear about one successful story, but you don't hear about the nine who have suffered because of the people who they believe in and who they thought they could trust, then to find out that these people had a different, you know, question in mind.
So sometimes it's not only you put your faith in the wrong person. Sometimes the people in whom you trust, they made the decision to trust others that were not what they expected them to be. There are times when I think in business, since most of it is risk, you have to be very careful with whom you put your trust. You may find that you made all the right decisions, but the people in whom you had faith, the other step in the ladder, so to speak, they let you down. You have a situation here in Barbados where, you know, people have fixed their properties, rented it out to people to operate either guest houses, restaurants, various other things, and they pack up and left, sometimes owing them rent, sometimes not paying their staff. And, you know, then you wring your hands and say, well, my overseas investors left me high and dry. What do I do now? So we have that. We have to keep looking out at every step, sir, for, you know, to make sure that those in whom we trust are trustworthy. Thanks for your contribution. Let's see if we can get one more in, John. Let's try it. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
If it is me that is on, I want to...
It is you that are on.
Right, refer to three points that was made in the House of Assembly yesterday by Tony Moore.
Mm-hmm.
One, she said that the union influenced the outcome of the BOSS program. meaning that they look out for the constituents.
Mm-hmm.
She also said it was the best solution in the circumstances. There were no better alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
And she also said it was creativity at its best.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was trying to figure out what was creative about bonds, because create means it is new, you've just discovered or something. And bonds have been around for decades. So
that's not what creative means?
That's what creative means?
That's what creation means, but that's not what creative means.
That's creativity, like how Columbus discovered the West Indies, and that way discovered people there, right? But let me say too about the alternative. You and I discussed the alternative day before about land. That is an alternative, because she's saying that there were no better or other alternatives. I want to suggest that there was an alternative, and it was land.
Land would not reduce the government's payroll cost. Go ahead.
Wait, you had told me something like that on Tuesday, right?
Tuesday, yes. Yeah.
But it can reduce the payroll, because remember I was saying to you, give the employees the less money, reduce their pay by 10%, and they're getting land in replacement for the money. So it can reduce the wage bill. Right? You're giving them land, not bonds, land, because land can be more valuable to them. But you know, Dennis, there's something I want to look at with this bonds business. What happens if there's a devaluation of the dollar? Because if there's a devaluation, it means that you would not get back the amount of money you put in. You might get it numerically, but the value would be less. Also, the 5% interest that you would get will also be 5% on the devalued value. I mean, an alternative could have been that the union could have negotiated that if there's a devaluation, the value of their money would be appraised so that they would still get back. They wouldn't be at a disadvantage. Now, why I say land is a better option is because when you look at land advertised on the internet, it's advertised in U.S. dollars. So if there's a devaluation in the Barbados currency, the land would not devalue, because it was still be sold at the value you had it for in the U.S. currency.
You sure do.
Yeah, but land is advertised in U.S. I don't see it.
I see it advertised in U.S. all the time. I just want to know if that's the value of the land, or if that's what the salespeople making on it. Because I've seen some figures that I would love to believe that Bajans actually get the kind of money I see it being advertised for. I would be very happy to think so. I mean, very happy. Anyway, you got in the last word today, and I thank you for taking the time to join us here on this, the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Creative, inventive, imaginative, innovative, and so on. So that's where the creative part of it. It was imaginative, not as in creation of something new. Thank you, John, for taking care of things technical. Thanks to those of you who sent messages, made comments online, or just listened quietly. On behalf of the team, have a good afternoon.